A couple of weeks ago, we began to look at the Christmas story according to the Gospel of Luke. We looked at the first seven verses. This morning, I'm going to ask that you turn there once again to Luke chapter 2. And this morning, we're going to focus on verses 8 through 20, verses that of which we have just sung about shepherds, about angels, about Mary. Luke chapter 2, looking at verses 8 through 20. Follow along with me as I read aloud. This is God's holy and authoritative and inspired word. From Luke chapter 2, beginning with verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. Since the reading of God's word, and may He bless it unto us. I would encourage you, if you're one that likes to take sermon notes, you'll find in a place in your bulletin where you may scratch some notes down. I'll try my best to help you if you're one that likes to do that. I encourage you to keep your Bibles open this morning as we look at this text together. This is a text that's very familiar to us, and familiarity often will make us not quite as intuitive towards the Word of God. And so I'm going to encourage you to keep your Bibles open as we look at this portion of Scripture together. Let's go to our Lord in a time of prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, this is your word. It is breathed by you. And so, Lord, may we, by your Holy Spirit, treat these words not just as simply words on a page, but the words that you speak to us. Lord, instruct us. Correct us. Rebuke us. Train us. Lord, today may we see salvation through Christ Jesus. May we hear your word and may respond to it in faith. Hear our prayer. We ask this in Jesus' name. And let all of God's people say, amen. Congregation of the Lord Jesus Christ, how do you react to good news? How do you react to good news? Parents, your kids come home and they say that they made the team. Their first chair in band. They've got a part in the school play. How do you respond? Spouses, how do you respond when your spouse says, I got a promotion. I got a raise. How do we respond to good news? The ladies here probably respond to good news regarding an engagement or an expected pregnancy much more than us guys do. And I would dare but say us guys probably respond to an exciting last-minute three-pointer or a late field goal. We respond to that much differently than the ladies do here. We often respond to great news with excitement, with good news, with a thrill. And yet, there are times in which we hear the good news here in this place or in the church of whatever church you belong to. And we don't respond with the same excitement. We don't respond with the same thrill. Some of us may look at it as the same old, same old. Some of us may say, well, I've heard that before. When we read Luke 2, as I mentioned a couple weeks ago, even Linus from Charlie Brown knows Luke 2. We don't find excitement about it. But this is great news. This is some of the best news that we hear. That Jesus Christ is born. Kids, we're excited about opening presents. We're excited about your Christmas program. We're excited about so many things. We get excited about the lights. We get excited about the songs. We get excited about so many parts of the season. But how much excitement do we truly show about the gospel of Jesus Christ? You see, in our text this morning, we find a sense of excitement. We find joy. We find a concentration on the gospel of Jesus Christ. Luke introduces us here in this section of the Christmas story, introduces us to three different parties. In fact, in this text, it's interesting that here in Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20, Jesus is the focus, but Jesus isn't the center of the story. Jesus is simply mentioned as the one who is in the manger. But yet, Jesus in his gospel is the focus of this passage. A passage that should cause each and every one of us some excitement. Each and every one of us some joy. Because Jesus Christ has been born. That not only the Savior of God's people then, but the Savior of God's people now has been born. Has entered into space and time. Has entered into, given up the riches of heaven for the poverty of earth. And he has lived and died and rose again, ascended for you and for me. And so if nothing else, I hope that as we leave here at this place today, that we show some excitement. Now it may not be, throwing our hands up in the air, high-fiving everybody, and whooping it up out back. It may not be squeals of delight and just the thrills of victory and all those things, but there should be an excitement as we come to this place. Not just today, but each and every Lord's Day. Every time we gather together, every time we hear the Christmas story, we should have an excitement. And so this morning, let's look at this account. Let's look at it a little more in depth as we see three different parties showing us how about the good news, showing us how to react to the good news. And we find that we have shepherds, and we have angels, and we have Mary at the very end. So let's look at this with three points in mind. Our first point is going to be this. If you're one that likes to take notes, let me give you that first point. That first point is simply this. As the shepherds see that the good news is for sinners. The good news is for sinners. Verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. That doesn't seem like a whole lot there. We have to understand a little bit of background about the shepherds in those days. You see, the shepherds in those days were not very highly esteemed. Shepherds' kids were not very liked out back in those days. The shepherds were known to be liars. They were known to be cheats. That if they were out with other shepherds and their sheep kind of mingled together, and they would just say, well, you know what, the sheep's got to be mine, and they kind of take it. They would lie about it then if confronted. In fact, they were so notorious for lying that scholars say that they weren't even allowed to give testimony in court because of their reputation. They were from a class of people that were generally despised. They were despised by those higher up. They were despised especially by religious people. Shepherds would often, in their, because of their profession, come into contact with unclean animals, with dead carcasses. And so as a result, they were considered unclean to attend worship. So they weren't real liked. Now here the shepherds are living out in the fields nearby. Nearby where Jesus has been born. Nearby, and they're keeping their watch over their flocks at night. Shepherds often worked long hours, obviously, watching their sheep. Scholars say here, what's interesting about these shepherds here is that the flocks that they were likely looking over were those that would be preserved for the sacrifices in the temple. The closer they were to Jerusalem, the closer they were to the temple, the more likely they were used for that purpose. And so here these shepherds are despised. Here these shepherds are hated. They're looked down upon. But yet they're the ones that are devoting themselves for the religious people. For those who, the very ones who did despise them. They weren't held in suspicion. They were low lives to many. And yet, I can ask a question to the kids and they will know that, this answer. But who did the angel come see? Did the angel come see the Pharisees? Did the angel come see the Sanhedrin? Did the angel come see the court, the king? No, the angel appears to the shepherds. With good news. With good news of great joy. The grace of God announced to sinners. Sinners like these shepherds. They weren't highly religious. They weren't considered the high life. They didn't have the high life. They were despised. They were the misfits. They were the outcasts. And yet, God, in His providence, in His grace, sends the angel to them with this message. Jesus would later on say in the Gospels, what does He say? Well, He says this. He says, I've not come to call the righteous, but sinners. And it begins right at His birth, doesn't it? Jesus here is saying to us, look, I'm coming for those who recognize they need a Savior. Because you see, that's part of the good news. That's part of the good news is to know that we need a Savior. That Jesus doesn't come down for the righteous. Jesus didn't come down for those who can go through the motions. Jesus didn't come for those kings and Pharisees and Sanhedrin, for the temple courts. Jesus came for people who recognize they need the grace of God. Who recognize that because of our sins that we're misfits and we're outcasts. We're low lives. See, brothers and sisters in Christ, entitlement destroys our gratitude. Entitlement destroys our gratitude. See, some of us think that we're entitled to God's grace. That He somehow owes it to us. That we deserve the mercy of God. That we deserve the grace of God. We aren't owed anything. Entitlement destroys our gratitude. You see, when our excitement and our joy over the good news of Jesus Christ becomes shattered when we think that we deserve it. But we recognize that we don't deserve it. That's when our hearts fill with praise. That's when our hearts fill with worship. That's when our hearts fill with joy and excitement because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because He didn't come to call the righteous. He came to call sinners. The shepherds show us that God's good news is for sinners. And Jesus would demonstrate that in our lives, in His life. Jesus is confronted because He's hanging out with tax collectors. He's at the home of sinners. He talks to prostitutes. He speaks to those lower class in those days. Those who would be considered at lower class. See, God's good news is for sinners. Like you. And me. And if we recognize that, if we recognize the fact that this good news is something that of what is something that we really don't deserve, but God has graciously offered it to us, then we'll know that joy. And we'll realize that joy is great, as the angels would state. That there will be excitement for each and every one of us concerning the gospel. The shepherds show us that the good news is for sinners. That leads us to our second point this morning, and that is this, is that the angels show us the excitement of the Gospels. Now, angels, the Greek word angel can also mean the Greek word, can also mean messenger. Messenger. And they have a message for us, don't they? Look at me at the beginning of verse 9. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." The angel appears to these shepherds, and it's no wonder when we consider how much they were despised, how much they were considered as far as amongst religious circles. We can see why they were struck with fear, because an angel appeared. Something that didn't happen every day. And here an angel appears and they're afraid. And the angel says to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy." Good news of great joy. The angel is about to proclaim the gospel. The message that they're about to proclaim is the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want you to look with me at some aspects of this gospel, of the gospel in this song. First of all, we notice in verse 11, the angel says, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you." A Savior's been born to you. Here the angel's about to declare good news of great joy that's going to be for all the people, not just the shepherds, but for all those who would believe, for His disciples that would follow Him later on, for the apostles that would write about Him, for those who would be part of the church in the book of Acts, for the people throughout church history, for people like us here this morning at Faith URC. The good news of great joy for all the people. Here's the first aspect, that a child has been born to you in the city of David. Why should this give us joy? Well, because the city of David, for those, they knew it was Bethlehem. And we know that in Micah chapter, I believe it's chapter 5, verse 2, Micah tells us that in the Old Testament, the Messiah was going to be born there. So the angels, as part of their good news of great joy, is declaring to these shepherds that, you know those writings in the Old Testament that we would call the Old Testament, but you know those writings that are taught in the synagogues? You know, shepherds, the writings that you are not really welcome there because of your uncleanliness, because of your occupation, because of the fact that you're despised, they're about to be fulfilled. They're about to be fulfilled. The time has come. And that's what the angels are proclaiming. That's part of the good news of great joy, is that Jesus is the fulfillment of the Old Testament. The angel goes on and says, today a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ. Now, kids, we often think that when we hear the word Jesus Christ, we often think that Christ is somehow his last name. I remember growing up, I thought the same thing. We think that Christ was his last name. That's but you see here, the word Christ is a title. It's the word Messiah. It's the word the Anointed One. The Savior who is Christ. Here the angels are proclaiming that this child that was born is Christ. It is the one that is promised, and the angels are excited about this. He goes on. He says, not only is he Christ, but he's also Christ the Lord. Christ the Lord. In the Old Testament, when Moses is told at the burning bush to go deliver God's people out of Egypt, and one of the questions Moses will ask is, well, who do I tell them sent me? And God reveals this name. He says, I am that I am. He reveals the word Yahweh. We translate it in our English Bibles as capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. What the angel is saying here is that this is God. The divinity of Christ is proclaimed here. God, Jesus Christ, this child is the fulfillment of the Old Testament. This child is indeed the Messiah. This child is God in the flesh. The incarnation. This angel goes on. And this will be a sign to you. You find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. We show excitement and we show joy about Christmas, about the coming of Christ. But for Christ himself, this was part of his humiliation. This was part of the road to the cross for him. This began the road of our salvation through his humiliation. Because you see, the angels, as they declared this good news, you would expect them to say, you will find him in a throne, in a throne room next to the king. You would expect them to find something along those lines. After all, this is the Messiah. This is the Anointed One. To the Israelites in those days, they thought there was going to be the one that would deliver them from the Roman Empire. There's got to be some royalty in them. So they were expecting something much bigger and something much grander than a babe wrapped in cloths. That almost seems anticlimactic. You would expect something different. And yet the angels say, you'll find the Messiah. Humbled. Humbled in a manger. Wrapped not in purple, but in cloths. See, Jesus had to be humiliated. Humbled himself and walked this road for us. And that's why we get excited about Christmas. That's why there is joy for us. Because we know that this would be the one that the angels would rejoice and would later on would have people yelling, "Crucify him, crucify him." This is the one that was wrapped in cloths that would someday be wrapped in purple as the soldiers mocked him and put a crown of thorns on him. And they would hang a sign above him and say, here's Jesus, King of the Jews. It's excitement because you see, it was this baby that would be our king. And that he will reign forever. The angels are excited about this. And you see, notice in verse 13, it suddenly changes. Verse 13 is not just one angel, but it's a multitude of angels. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests. A heavenly army of God's messengers announcing peace. Announcing glory to God and announcing peace to sinners. We don't expect armies to be ones that would bring peace. When we think of armies, we think of announcing of war. But these armies announce peace. That the Prince of Peace has come to be our peace. That He has come to reconcile sinners to God, to save sinners like you and like me, to declare that on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests, on the grace of God that is resting upon His people, whether it's these shepherds, whether it is Mary, whether it is the wise magi who will come later on, whether it's His church, whoever it may be, there is peace because of God's grace resting upon them. Do you know that peace? Does that peace give you any sort of joy? Any sort of excitement? To know what we deserve, that as the despised, as sinners, what we deserve and what God has given to us. And the angels will praise God. They'll praise God. I hope the gospel excites you. I hope hearing the Christmas story excites you. And I hope it fills each and every one of us with joy and excitement. And fills us with praise. That we will erupt with Gloria and Excelsis Deo. That we will erupt with come and worship. Come and worship. Worship Christ, the newborn King. That we will sing rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel. The angels show us the excitement of all over this good news. And that leads us to our third point. And you see, here we find the shepherds and Mary tell us how to respond to this good news. How to respond to this good news. Look at me, verses 15 through 20. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." The shepherds didn't get together and say, let's form a committee and decide whether or not we're going to go or not. And say, okay, you're assigned to figure out the travel costs and you're assigned to figure out reservations at a hotel and you're supposed to investigate to see if this is true. There's no committee. They don't sit there and dwell upon it and debate it. They say, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing has happened. That thing that the angels have appeared to tell us. So they hurry off. And they find Mary. And they find Joseph. They find the baby. Exactly as the angels had declared. Verse 17. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning him concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. The shepherds had a new title. They're evangelists. They went out and they told the good news. If we're excited about the gospel, how do we respond? We go and tell. Don't just go and tell it on the mountain. But go and tell it at work. Go tell it at school. Go tell it on the playground. Go tell it in your community. Go tell it in your neighborhood. That Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. When we hear good news, we usually get pretty excited about it. I would really find it hard to believe. Maybe it has happened, but gentlemen, you know, if your wife says to you, you know what, I'm expecting. I hope none of us did this. That's nice. That's not excitement. That's not excitement. When our favorite team wins the game, we don't go, that's great. When you get engaged and you tell all your friends about it, I hope they didn't go, that's nice. They spoke. You tell, you get excited about it. And the shepherds did too, and they couldn't keep their mouths quiet. They had to go. They had to tell about what went on, what they saw. And the people who heard it were amazed. We have the opportunity this week at a Christmas service. And as I mentioned before, there studies have shown that there are many people who become interested in spiritual things around this time of the year. We call them CEO Christians, Christmas Easter only Christians. They go to church at Christmas. They go to church at Easter. They don't have any interest at any time of the year, other part of the year. But for some reason, they become interested in a service. What about it, guys? What about it, ladies? If we're excited about the gospel, let's invite them. Let's invite them here. Let's invite them and tell them about how it changes us, how it builds us up, how it thrills us, so that we are willing to come here each and every Sunday to hear the word proclaimed, that we sing these songs just a little bit louder, even though some of us can't hold a tune. Some of us, we come here because we love to see our children sing the same songs we love to sing. If there's excitement, then we should tell it. There's a second response that we find here also. And that's that Mary has. Verse 19, but Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which are just as they had been told. Mary treasures these in her heart and ponders them. This morning, as we were getting ready for church, and as we were we had YouTube on, and we were listening to Christmas songs in my house, and Corey and I were listening to the song "Mary, Did You Know?" I don't think Mary did know. But yet Mary pondered because of what she did know. What she did know. She didn't know exactly what was going to happen in the future, but she did know of the excitement and joy. Not just of giving birth, but here was the Savior. Here was Christ the Lord. The shepherds, I'm sure, told Mary all the things that they saw. I'm sure that the shepherds couldn't hold their tongues for telling them all the things, the angels and the good news and this babe and it's Christ the Lord, it's the Messiah. It's a fulfillment of the Old Testament. And Mary ponders it. And treasures it. The gospel is indeed a treasure. It's a treasure worth keeping. I came across a quote from John Owen. John Owen writes this, "In the divine scriptures, there are shallows and there are deeps. Shallows where the lamb may wade, and deeps where the elephants can swim." Now, there's parts of the Bible that are very hard to understand. There are parts of the Bible that's difficult. But yet the gospel is one in which the lambs can wade and the elephants can swim. Where we can find in its simplest form an excitement and a joy to see our Savior, to see the grace of God shown to us. And it doesn't matter how old we are. It doesn't matter how far along we are with our walk with God. There is an excitement to the gospel message. That good news is for sinners. It's a good news that we get excited about. It's a good news we praise God for. It's a good news that we tell to others. It's a good news that we treasure in our hearts. So what about us? What about us today? Are we excited? Are we joyful? Or are we sitting here saying that this is just the same old, same old? It's just another Christmas service, another look at Luke 2. My prayer is it's not. My prayer is that as we look at this, that we treasure this, we value this, we love this, we're willing to praise God for it, we're willing to glorify God for it, we're willing to be excited about it, to be filled with joy, and then go and tell it. Kids, we're looking forward to having you tell us. Tell us about Jesus Christ. And I hope that as we prepare, as we consider Christmas Day, as we consider these services, as we consider just the stories that we've come to know and hear, and we consider the parties and the presents and the food and the fellowship and all these things, I hope the one thing excites us most of all and gives us the greatest joy is Jesus Christ. For today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for your gospel. Thank you for the good news that we don't really deserve. But you have graciously given to us. Lord, fill us with excitement. Fill us with joy. Because we know we need it. That we need your good news. Lord, help us to not only understand it in our minds, but to believe it in our hearts. To ponder on it and treasure it and praise you for it. Lord, may we do so both in our lips and in our lives. Lord, words cannot express our gratitude for our gratitude for this good news. Give us great joy in knowing this and believing it. In Jesus' name we ask these things, and let all of God's people say, amen.